10. Dan Coats promised his wife Marcia he would reclaim control over his life. "I'll shape up," he promised her. At DNI headquarters in Virginia, he called in his senior staff about 3 months into his tenure. "I'm not going to be able to go the long haul here unless we can do 3 things, Coates said. "One, I've got to get a good night's sleep." Trump's tweeting was continuing to keep him up at night. The job was never leaving him. "Number 2, I can't just scarf down a McDonald's at 3 in the afternoon because I'm scheduled to do stuff. I've got to have a time when I can have a decent meal. 3rd, I've got to have exercise." He knew it was a stress reliever. "You've got to build that into my schedule. 45 minutes at least 3 times a week. I need a trainer, someone to really push me. Finally, it's an impossible job. One person cannot do all of this." Certainly he couldn't. He was going to hire a principal deputy to handle all the inside, technical, and managerial nuts and bolts. He selected Sue Gordon, who had 37 years in the intelligence world as a former CIA analyst, cyber expert, and deputy director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. "Sue, I can't handle all this. I give you the leash. You run this. I'll be Mr. Outside," meaning he would deal with the White House, the National Security Council, State, and Defense. He would be the man on the Hill, briefing and taking soundings in the House and Senate. And his number one priority would be deepening relationships with the foreign intelligence services, the British, the Israelis, the Saudis, the Germans. The foreign services were great collectors of intelligence in their areas of the world, had some fantastic human sources, and could put events in historical context. "You're Mrs. Inside," he said to Sue Gordon. Mattis hadn't known Coates, but looked him up on Wikipedia to get some of the basics and asked a few people about him. The two had lunch. Mattis was immediately taken with Coates's gentlemanly demeanor, soft on the outside, but with a spine of steel on the inside, what Mattis called vertebrate. Mattis and Coates soon began lingering after NSC meetings when Trump had left. "What the hell is going on?" Coates asked in a private sidebar conversation with Mattis after one session. In just one example, Trump wanted to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan and South Korea. There was a rush. Instantly. "Get them out," Trump had commanded. "That's crazy," Mattis said to Coates. "That's dangerous." Coates was troubled by the absence of a plan or a consideration of the human dimension, the impact on the troops, the allies, the world, or a sense of the weight of the office. "The president has no moral compass," Mattis replied. The bluntness should have shocked Coates, but he'd arrived at his own hard truths about the most powerful man in the world. "True," Coates agreed. "To him, a lie is not a lie. It's just what he thinks. He doesn't know the difference between the truth and a lie." They found themselves often looking across the table at each other in the Situation Room with concern. They had to deal not only with America's adversaries, but with the failure of the administration to work together and define its strategy. Mattis concluded that Coates would not waver. Whenever the president would challenge the intelligence findings, Coates firmly stuck to the facts. Mattis knew that Coates was carrying a burden, but was sure he could stand the strain. Still waters ran deep in Dan Coates. He was cool and not defensive, unintimidated by complexity. Mattis found himself often thinking that Coates was a model of what was needed in government service, although maybe he was too decent. As Coates's relationship with Mattis grew closer, his friendship with Pence grew more distant. "Once he became vice president," Coates said, "he built that kind of cocoon around him that basically said, 'This is the role of the vice president.'" In Coates's eyes, his old friend had become passive, subservient, and obedient. Marcia Coates was more charitable. "Mike Pence," she told others, "no doubt he believes God put him where he is and his job is to be a good VP. A loyal and supportive, even though he doesn't agree with so much of it. Of Pence, Marcia said, "One time we had dinner with him. We didn't want to put him on the spot. Something outrageous had happened. We were at the White House at some dinner, and he came over to say goodbye, and I just looked at him like, 'How are you stomaching this?'" Marcia Coates added, "I just looked at him like, 'This is horrible. I mean, we made eye contact. I think he understood. And he just whispered in my ear, "Stay the course." At the same dinner, Dan Coates said that was exactly what Pence had said to him. Stay the course.